Blog Talk Radio.
Three.
Renaissance Inkwell Mashup. Renaissance was supposed to be on tonight, but life be lifing, and he's under the weather, so he asked me to step in. This is your host, Lisa Lips, and we are brought to you by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Author Larry Maddox, the owner of our beautiful network, is also the CEO of Raw Links. If you want yours, look on any of these platforms where you can purchase jewelry. And if you can't find it, then hit up some of us here at the Epiphany Network. We will be happy to point you in the right direction. So this set is a Renaissance Inkwell mashup, and we came in to let you stitch your shit. There is no theme. Whatever you feel is your piece for tonight, bring it through, and we'll be glad to have you. So let me get underway with a little bit of something that I wrote, and then we'll jump on these callers. This piece is called Elevate the Kingdom. The concept of king has been misconstrued. You see, in our Black communities, we try to elevate our men because life puts them all in the same category. Lost tribes, downtrodden, good-for-nothing grifters, irresponsible hustlers, self-centered, broken. So many negatives that they don't even trust us as their backbone anymore. They put us down, seek out others to validate them, even reject our propensity to try and build them up. But here is what I've come to know. Even on the hallowed grounds of the great motherland, every man is not a king. Kings receive the lessons of the elders, the teachings of the ancestors, the compassion of their mothers, the wisdom from the wind of time, education from their forefathers, and the grace and mercies of the Most High. It was not about monetary status or sexual prowess, forced physical strength, or overblown ego. No, a king graciously stood at the top, protected those in his charge, taking the full force of battle, living, and if need be, dying for the forthright of his people, his calling, so that no one suffered under his watch. So next time you choose to speak kingly words, be sure the soul that this man possesses will receive it as given, because every man is not built for the throne, nor every woman graced to be queen. Know your own status and that of those you choose, because pouring into a broken vessel is futile, and tipping out of an empty cup gives nothing. Seek to first be whole, then seek wholeness. This completes the circuit that elevates the kingdom. I'm Lisa List, and you're just in service. Now, I see some great folks popping up here, and as usual, I see my man, Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer, first up on the mic. Brother Joe, how do you manage to always get in here first?
Oh, I don't know, lucky, I guess.
How you doing tonight?
Not bad, Lisa. How you feeling?
I'm good. Nothing to complain about. Now, I want to know if we're getting Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer, or are we getting Lou Draws tonight?
Oh, you're getting a Mind Dancer, baby.
Okay. All right. I like the Mind Dancer because I love the way you tease us with these net noir stories that you give. All right, bro, so I'm going to step out the way, and you get the first mic of the night. So I'm going to move over
all
out
right.
The way. The mic is yours.
Okay, here we go. This piece is called Lost. When cold inside, a soul becomes barren. Empty lines of damn you'll find have little meaning to one so detached from humanity. being touched as a child by two familiar hands, constantly punched with a fist wearing a wedding band. The tides turn, allowing one to learn hate of self. To face oneself was lost in a murdered childhood. In parentheses, never living as a child should. This maid was unusually cool, and much to her dismay, she was falling for this dude. He, like she, was sheltering their hearts. He was also torn apart from societal negativity. Seeing her change his perspective on life, he felt the emptiness inside her. His solace was found between the gilded edge pages of faith. He was compelled to guide her into the light he found. Months went by as they slowly shared their pain. Life began to flow through their veins. Layer upon layer of scarred emotions began to fall. Rivers of tears were drying up. Those loose ends were getting tied up. He called her beautiful on a day when a memory wet her eyes. It was so cool on this May Day. No call for a May Day. Help was by her side. This soon-to-be blushing bride, this soon-to-be groom, saw her as his muse. So much doom and gloom, he brought a loom and wove a tapestry from their torn threads. They found each other in the patterns from the abstract world of lost souls. It's the ugly thrust upon us that others can't see. They peeled those layers from each other and are now free. Come on, please. Thank you.
Whoa, that was heavy. Man, what brought that piece about, Joe?
Person I know went through some stuff as a young child, so, you know, that just kind of put my spin on it, bring it to light.
Okay. Yeah, you were hitting heavy that one. It almost sounded like, I don't even know how to liken it. Like, it was kind of like a wedding, but kind of like, you know, I'm not sure. But because you spoke of the bride and the groom, that kind of put me in that mindset.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they were both lost souls. You know, they kind of found each other then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love and marriage came to fruition after all that. You know, after all they've been through, they found, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They found that
that's
light.
Amazing.
You know,
that they found that light is amazing, because sometimes two broken people get together and they end up breaking each other worse.
Yeah, but you know, like I say, his solace was found between the gilded edges pages of faith. You know, so he found it. He found his solace from the Bible.
Okay.
You know, he learned that light. He shared it with her. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Mhm. Well, that was an amazing piece, Brother Joe.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate you coming through on this mashup night. I'm not exactly sure where I'm sending y'all tonight, because the Renaissance has got their lounge and I got mine. So how about we just send you on over to chill in the bar and not give it a name tonight. But it works for me. All right. We are serving cognac as our main drink tonight, since it's a Friday night and everybody's ready to chill.
Yeah, I like the yak. It's all right.
Okay. All right, well, you go over there and get you a glass. The cognac is on us tonight.
Appreciate
and
it.
Thank you for coming through.
No problem. Glad to be here.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer kicks us off strong, as usual. But, now I see that it's not going to get any better, because this young man likes to make us think. This is Mr. Anthony Arnold. Hey, love, how you doing?
Hello.
Oh,
I'm not doing too bad.
I appreciate you coming through on this Friday night.
Yeah, I ran into it by mistake. I was just going through trying to see who was on, and I happened to see it, and I said, whoops, let me go.
Well, thank you for coming in. What did you bring in for us tonight?
Well, you know, it is Black History Month, and that tends to be my forte.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this past week, I've been writing a few, and this is one that I wrote, I think, the beginning of the week. So, whenever you're ready, my dear.
All right. Yeah, just this spotlight for you, and raise up this mic a little bit, and I'm going to get out of your way. The mic is yours.
Peace is called power beyond belief. My third eye opens. I hear the voices of the ancestors speak. They tell me of a power of our people, a power beyond belief. It comes from those that have gone before, from the souls that have been taken from us, those that were taken and thrown overboard into the sea. The Igbo captured and brought to the strange world. They could not live in captivity. They sacrificed themselves so that their souls would live free. The ancestors killed in Tulsa, in Rosewood, in Philadelphia, and any place they died. Their souls cry for relief, for revenge. The third eye closes, but my body, my mind, continues to resonate with a power beyond belief. And that's that piece.
Wow. The origin of that story.
It was something that had been bothering me.
Okay.
And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I asked myself a question. Is there or would there be a way that we could receive a power from the ancestors, from those who had gone away? And I thought about, like I said, Igbo, folks from Tulsa and Rosewood and the people from MOVE that got bombed in Philadelphia. Those souls are still here, and they're wanting to speak to anyone that'll listen.
Okay.
So that was where this came from. And I could have put a whole lot more folks in there, but we'd still be reading.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
I tailored it down a little bit.
Mhm.
There may be a part two to this. I'm not quite sure.
I always feel like I learn something when I read your pieces. Because all of us have heard of some of these things, but not all of us have heard of all of them. And so it gives me a reason to go research when you mention something that I'm not familiar with. And your pieces are seriously should be part of Black History curriculum because you make us think.
Well, I try. That's all I've been trying to do over the last 12, 13 years is mm-hmm. get people to think. I don't
yeah.
have to tell you everything. All I need to do is open your mind to make you want to go and look. And if you do, that's
Absolutely.
Fine. If you don't, that's fine.
Right.
But that's all I've been trying to do over the last 11, 12 years.
When you're nosy like me and you hear something you ain't heard before, then you go looking for it. You know, I hear some of your pieces or read some of your pieces on Facebook, and I'm like, I don't know what that is. And so then I go down that rabbit hole. I start Googling stuff. You know, and it's an hour and a half later, and I'm like, oh, that's what he meant. But, I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
I'll do it as long as I can.
And truthfully, if it were taught more so in school, it would be so much easier. But because it isn't taught and because what they call teaching us something is regurgitating the MLK story and regurgitating the Rosa Parks story every year, and they don't seek out any real knowledge to teach, we need pieces like this. We need things that make us think.
Yeah, but if they actually had to do the research, then they would consider themselves having to work. And most don't want to work these days. So, the best thing we can do in our homes is learn for ourselves and teach our children ourselves, because that is the only way they're going to get the unvarnished truth.
Absolutely.
And not something, like you say, that's been regurgitated year after year after
mm-hmm.
year.
They sure enough do. You know, well, look, I have great appreciation for what you do, and I thank you for coming through. It means the world to me to have you on my stage.
It is a pleasure, my dear.
All right, love. Well, I'm going to send you on over there in the bar. Like I said, the cognac's on us tonight. So go over and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, some cognac with one ice cube. I'll be good to go.
Okie dokie. All right, love. Well, one love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Enjoy your night.
Anthony Arnold coming through teaching us. And we have already killed the first half hour. Can you believe the time has flown by that quickly? So we're going to pay some bills, and then we'll get back to this next caller. I see Mr. C-34 Music sitting in the queue. So let's get these bills paid, and we will get to him next.
Thank you.
listening to the Epiphany Radio Network, and tonight we are doing the mashup between Renaissance and Inkwell. We are bringing you all of the hottest poets that come through this Epiphany Network, and they jumping on this mic and beating it up pretty bad, so hopefully I got enough mics to get through the night. Now, if you want to join them on this stage, the call-in number is 319-527-6300, and hit that 1 and join us on this mic. Now, I got a heavy hitter standing in the wings, Mr. C-Double-34 Music. Hey, C-Double, what's happening?
Hi, Ms. Lisa Lips. How are you? I'm doing well. Thank you.
I am good. I'm good. It always does me good to hear you because I know you're coming through with something that's going to have me trying to keep up with all the different song titles and movie references and TV references and all kinds of things that you come through with.
Well, all I know is you were talking about hottest poets. I know I'm not Usher going to the free clinic to clear things up. That's all I know.
Yeah, nor are you trying to get in any altercations like Usher almost created by the way he wrapped up Alicia Keys on Super Bowl Sunday.
Look, a normal man who's wrapping up somebody that looks like that, something's going to happen. That's all I know.
I saw it too, and it made me cringe a little bit. I was like, didn't this man just get a marriage license just before the Super Bowl? And now he and his squeezing somebody else's wife like that for the whole world to see? But anyway.
And then the husband saying, oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. All right. You more understanding than the average brother. That's all I'm going to say.
Or he's wearing a dress or something like that. That's all I'm saying.
Something's happening.
Something happening.
That's not quite kosher is going on. But anyway. What do you got for us tonight, dear?
Well, let me ask you something. What holiday was 2 days ago?
Valentine's Day.
Okay. I have something that's going to be very visceral, very I'm going against somebody on this one, so.
Okay. Well, let me move out the way, and this mic is yours.
Thank you. This piece is called True Love. I'm sorry. But true love has nothing to do with Cupid. How is this menace to society on the loose again? This subject to so many deplorable mass shootings, he's an assassin, a murderer, an abuser to humans. I say lock him up and put him into the chain of fools. Lifetime sentence, no parole, under penitentiary rules. In the criminal justice system, this so-called angel is especially heinous. These are their stories where his violence meets the R word. Sorry, that was awkward. Maybe that's a typo. I meant therapist. And I see right there you're pissed. Maybe you think I'm maniacal and hysterical. Increase my medications to level 4. Put me in solitary confinement and tear my clothes on that cold, bare floor. Because I dare challenge your rare thoughts of what true love is while eating this bear claw, saying that it's this evil system's propaganda. It's their fault that we're all still confused about true love and we depend on someone who assaults with a bow and arrow, piercing hearts with a deadly weapon, with pure aggressive intentions and never brought to a confession. Well, the jury's verdict is guilty on all counts of killing the innocent, those who are ignorant pertaining to what true love is. I guess you think I'm a foreigner stuck in a corner with a mental disorder. but I'm going to take time to think things over and read between the lines in case I need them when I'm older. True love, I want to know, and since I'm a foreigner, I want you to show me over an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet at Shoney's, and the price total is on me. Don't take this personal like you're Jermaine Jackson with a perm kit. I'm only joking. Just had to take Cupid down to his bone meat. In this poem, these are my stories. In peace.
Okay. Okay. Explain to us what brought that piece about.
What brought that piece about is the fact that I give my love every day. I don't have to wait for one day to do it, and I don't need somebody in crappy diapers with a deadly weapon. Basically, I'm Danny Glover in this mug. I'm too old for this.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people do get caught up and rushing out, trying to figure out what to get, and trying to boo up because Valentine's Day is coming, and don't really understand what it's all about. You know, that love is supposed to be shown at all times. You know, and Valentine's Day is just an excuse to buy flowers, really.
Also, people got massacred on that day, so, you know,
yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah, there's that.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, my Valentine's story forever will be, my dad made a point of buying my mother a dozen roses, and then when I was little, I got one rose. Then when I got into my teenage years, I got three roses, and then when I got grown, I got six roses. That was his thing for Valentine's Day. And
okay.
My father and mother were married for 50 years, and my father passed away in December of 2004. And his birthday is just before Valentine's Day. So I didn't want my mom to be alone for his birthday and for Valentine's Day. So I took off time and I went home to spend the time with her. So Valentine's Day morning, we got up early and made coffee and we're sitting and talking. And then there's a knock at the back door. So we go to the door and it is like two people outside with these humongous bouquets of flowers. One of them was two dozen red roses and a single white, and the other one was a dozen red roses. And they handed us these bouquets with the cards in them, and we sat them on the table and thanked them and tipped them, and then we read our cards. My father had called from the hospital before he passed away and ordered flowers for us for Valentine's Day. It was his last act. Yeah, it was his last act for us. Yeah, and that will forever be my Valentine's story. To this day, my father is still the only man who ever bought me flowers for Valentine's Day.
Well, I'm musically sending you flowers. Let's put it like that.
I appreciate that. I love the way you love me, and the way you add me into these mixes just really warms my heart. I get tickled every time I see one.
Hey, it's what I do. Thanks.
Well, I'm going to send you on over to hang out. Joe and them, I'm sure, to mellow out a little bit. And then, like I said, the cognac is on us tonight.
Now I'm feeling like Cat Williams with the cognac now.
Okay.
Yeah. It's smoother than you ever would think.
I love Cat before that, and I love Cat even more.
All right. One love, one mic to you, Miss Lisa.
One Love, One Mic. C-double-34 Music. I need to make that into a promo. I just like saying it. C-double-34 Music. It needs a reverb. Music. Coming through. I appreciate you so much. And I see, now look, the last time I opened the mic for this gentleman, he showed off. I see Brother Paul Sampson, better known as Divine Inspiration. Hey, Brother Paul, what's happening?
Lisa, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm having a good time in here. I hope you come through and hang out with me. Do a little something. Let me say, before we go a little too far now, we're almost an hour in, so if you want to get in here, now is the time. The phone number is 319-527-6300, and press that 1, because we always need you to be up here on this stage giving us this heat. Now, Brother Paul.
Yes, ma'am.
What you getting ready to do to me?
I've been listening to the greatness coming before me. So I've switched my piece 3 different times. But the piece you started off with was phenomenal. Then Joe came along and said, "Geez, Joe, that piece." That's all I can say. Yeah. That piece. And then CW Commander. I don't even know if I'm gonna spit tonight. But I'm trying to tell you. But it's a wonderful thing though. It does my heart good just to see
yourself.
Black quality.
Okay.
You know, that's what has been shown tonight. You know, so hats off to all of you. But I have a piece called "Why Do You Fear My Greatness?"
Ooh. Okay. All right. Well, let me readjust this spotlight real fast and get out of your way. All right, brother, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Queen. There is something so heinous. It defies being given a proper name. Even still, I gotta say my piece. Even if it's just merely to vent, this thing, when viewed in its totality, hate is its master. It follows hate with blind loyalty, openly, shamelessly for the entire world to see. And you can best believe this thing was not heaven sent. The world sees you for what you are, a pathetic parasite, a vampiric ilk of sorts. Surely you have proved yourself as imps rated among Satan's greatest cohorts. Deceptively, you embrace your intended victims and then viciously sink your fangs of demonic greed. As usurpers, you suck dry, decimate, defecate, defile, and destroy. Then, like a swarm of locusts, after your destruction, you are then off to the next. And oh, the lies you tell. And unbelievably, actually believe. Obviously, you are possessed or hexed. You, quote unquote, discover a land where you are benevolently embraced in love. But all you saw was the land's wealth. So you massacre, biologically attempt to eradicate. You didn't see the love extended to you. You instinctively met love with hate. Once you realized you could not erase that strong indigenous race, you created reservations. And in America, slavery was born and accepted so quickly that it abominably became the norm. Your satanic studies showed you the error of your ways, so moving forward, your sole purpose and intent was to cut out the rest and just enslave. Eventually, onto the motherland of Africa, you slithered, astounded, emasculated and shamed by the regal, civilized, glistening Nubian kings and queens you encountered, who to you seemed oblivious to the natural wealth of the land, then true to your nature, once again it reared its ugly head, and millions of Nubians were soon to be dead. Dead to the generational wealth of wisdom, wealth of morals, and wealth of symbiotic lifeline to Mother Africa. You took Nubian kings and queens, God's original man, a race born from the dust of the same land from which God blessedly created Adam, the first human and Nubian man. And you dared to label them as property, chattel, even less than the family dog. You fed them from the scraps you wouldn't feed your pet, chicken feet, and the guts, ears, and the feet of such of a hog. Okay. We turned it into delicacies, and we mentally survived and physically thrived in slavery. As did you, though, when you stole your properties, medical wisdom, and inventions, and patented them for yourself, proving your arrogant and godless sense of superiority, ironically, was birthed by the theft of your chattel's intelligence. The brilliance of the Nubian race was and is the source of your ill-gained wealth. Your claim to relevance and fame comes from the greatness of those you have sucked dry. If you could jackhammer and chisel the hatred that surrounds your heart, you would drop to your knees and pray God to allow you a do-over and afford you a brand new start. But nothing, it seems, is beyond the depths of degradation that you would go to feed off and breed off and need off the greatness of others. For me personally, the most prolific turbulence birthed from your existence is hatred and your arrogance. Every sect, tribe, or race upon your initial contact, where you were met with respect and benevolence, doors open to share with you, to break bread with you, but your quote-unquote wisdom and wisdom are perfect examples of what is wise and unwise. Instead of learning how to fish, during that time in your existence, growing and learning in humility and grateful pride, your wisdom dictated you steal the fish and claim it as your own, caught by your very own hands. And with the generational symbiotic coexistence that died for so many victims of the hatred you injected and infected, like with your quote-unquote discovery of this beautiful, inhabited, civilized land, truth upon truth are there plainly for all to see. Some purposely disguised, but most are blatantly, convictingly, arrogantly, even proudly celebrated and taught. So arrogant, you expose your hypocrisy and unethical democracy, thinking you and you alone had the wisdom to perceive that in truth it was your master who, in the garden, approached Eve. So long is your history filled with the evidence of how you stole, plagiarized, and deceived. All I can say that would be of any merit or usefulness is I love you and I forgive you. Yet there is one question I must ask of you. Why do you fear my greatness? Poem.
Woo! Brother Paul, you came through swinging in both directions.
Hey, I'm always surprised the way God leaves my pen to write. You know, I tell everybody I cheat. Thank you. Praises to him. I tell y'all, I cheat. My daddy helped me write my poetry.
Well, you're allowed to let him cheat you through.
Okay. I'm not crazy, so even if anything else came out, I'm going to let him anyway, because I think he can make me if he really wanted to. But hopefully
yeah.
we don't have to see that part. I'm honored when he decides to set me up something. Hey, I need you to write something down. I want you to write something down for me. And then when I finish writing, I say, okay, wow. I'd be astonished sometimes. It's definitely him.
Well, absolutely, that was an amazing piece. And it is a teaching piece as well, you know, because a lot of that stuff you spit is the backward side of what they're telling us, you know. I don't know how you discover a land when there's people already on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's so amazing that they teach them lies to their own and to everybody else. I don't know. It just boggles my mind in so many aspects, so many levels.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely. There are so many things that we are taught in the school system. Even what part of it they do teach us, they teach it in a way that we still get the backhand side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. We get a watered-down version or a spin
mm-hmm.
that's going to make present them in the most positive light and try to cover up the backdoor duplicity
mm-hmm.
of everything they put their hands on.
Absolutely. You know, it is so true. You know, that because they have to be the hero of every story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of what the truth of it is.
I don't know how you can feel that you're the hero of something when you yourself know that you stole it, you deceived, you tried to murder, genocide to get something and claim it as your own, or to climb on the backs of somebody else's invention and pick it up from midstream and present it as your own. So how can you tell yourself that you're a hero?
Right. Yeah, they stole us from our land. They brought us here and put us to work to make them rich. And then they made themselves a hero when they treated us even slightly like a human being.
Yeah. Oh, okay, let me pat myself on the back. So instead of putting my foot on your neck to the point where it chokes you and you die, I'll break it up so you just have to gasp a little bit. So I did a good thing.
Right.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
Sadly, even though it's not as blatant as it used to be, it still exists.
All right. And it will as long as Satan running his earth, because they're his amongst his greatest imps.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's time for the Nubian nation, you know, for us to take over our own positions. And build our own wealth.
Absolutely. Only this time when we do it, I think we have the wherewithal to keep it.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah,
so many efforts previously have been thwarted and stolen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
That's a whole series
of
shows.
So speaking of a whole nother show, brother, what you got going on Sunday?
Sunday, I still haven't figured it out. I thought about doing an Inspiration Factory romance platform.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I
just have to.
It has to be spoken on. I mean, listen, I go to a whole lot of churches, and I see a whole lot of little children running around, and God did not create all these children without there being some romance somewhere.
Yeah, true that. That's right. And look, if you read your Bible, the Songs of Solomon
yes.
is an erotic book in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
A sensual book in the Bible. It's not vulgar or anything,
mm-hmm.
but it shows you that love and the physical form is a beautiful thing.
It sure is.
And under the laws that he dictated for it, to be wed and to do this, or just the dating process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all love. It's all beauty. We just get it construed where we jump the steps to this. We let our hormones get ahead of the growth together, you know, to
right.
end up in that utopian relationship. So we change the digits around and we end up with some convoluted stuff. But I'm going to see about some different godly romance. So the decision
okay.
has just been made. Thank you, Lisa. This time you're going to do a romance show.
Well, I appreciate that. And I will definitely try to be there and awake on Sunday.
Okay, I was going to say, well, you have no problem getting there. It's just staying awake. But no, I wasn't going to say that.
Well, I thank you for coming through to play with me tonight and be on my stage and spit that amazing piece.
Thank you, Queen. And I'm glad you had a platform. I was sitting there doing some late night cooking, and I said, I feel like some poetry. That's right. It's 9 o'clock, so I had to call in real quick. And I'm glad I did, because what preceded me has just been fantastic. So this was definitely a good thing to do. And I'm in the kitchen in my zone cooking, and, yeah, it was all a beautiful moment shared. So I'm going to have me a little quick shot of cognac, and then I'm getting ready to feed my face again.
All right. Well, thank you again, and one love, one mic.
One love, one mic. God bless y'all.
Man, listen, I don't know what's going on, but it's a whole lot of knowledge crossing the stage tonight. We are about an hour away from Blog Talk Lady kicking us out of here, so I'm going to play a little bit of music and hit some promos so we can pay a couple bills. And since Brother Paul spit that knowledge, I'm going to drop some of this here for you.
children are our future. Keep them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because of greatness, love of all.
I just took my socks off.
At Epiphany Radio.
You are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. My name is Lisa Lips, and this is the Renaissance Inkwell Mashup. We open the mics for you to come through and spit your shit. And trust me, tonight, they have been spitting off some serious stuff. Man, listen, I don't even have the words to explain what has been going on in here. But if you want to jump in and get your shit off, the dial-in number is 319-527-6300 and press that 1 because this stage is on fire tonight. Do you understand me? It has been amazing in here. And we've got just under an hour before the Blog Talk Lady kicks us off. So I don't want anybody to miss their opportunity. You know, come on through. Dial that number, 319-527-6300, and come through and drop something on the mic. Right now, I'm going to give us a little bit of a Tupac, and then we'll come back to the mics in a second here. Thank you. You are listening to Epiphany Radio Network, the For Real Entertainment Network. And this is Lisa Lips, your host for the evening. That was the instrumental version of I Ain't Mad At You. And that was a beautiful piece. And if you're sitting in the wings and you're enjoying what you're hearing and you get the itch to spit, the number is 319-527-6300. You got just about 45 minutes before we get chopped off here. So we're going to continue with this cue. And finally, I'm getting some feminine energy in here. I see the beautiful Miss La Perla Negra. What's going
hey,
on, Diva?
Hey, Diva. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. It's been all guys in here tonight. I'm so happy to see you.
Oh yeah, well I'm happy to break the monotony of that sausage party.
Oh man. But they've been hitting hard coming through tonight though.
I wouldn't expect anything less from them. They are phenomenal poets. They really are. And they never cease to amaze us with what they bring, so I appreciate them. But yeah, sometimes you need some female energy to balance out that masculinity.
Right.
You know.
Right. Scales don't balance if it's not some female on here.
Okay.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming through, and I know that you done brought some fire up in here.
Ooh, this piece is super, super old. I hope I can understand my own writing back then. I'm gonna try to do this one. I was in a different headspace a few years back, and this is something I wrote when I first came to Epiphany. I hope it makes sense because I was on a different vibe back then.
Sometimes it's good to step back, and then you can see how far you've come.
Yeah, so I ask that you be patient with me because I might stumble a little bit over these words. I'll try to remember.
Yeah, I'm going to give you your grace, and I'm going to move out of your way. The mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called Stimulation by Word Asphyxiation. I've dined at the table of dumbed down and simple-minded foolishness, all the while watching from across the room as others feasted on that preciously stimulating, nutritious matter that feeds the mind. I, partaking of the feast that continuously weakened my cerebral and frayed my heartstrings instead of removing myself, and setting out to gorging myself to contentment with intellectual light. The scent of the level of open-mindedness was intoxicating, and I just want to indulge. Just overeat into decadence. I long to just sip secretions of verbs and nouns and proverbs of their verbatim swagger. That was like a beautifully composed symphony of my loins. Total enlightenment. Only then had I realized how malnourished I was. So I left, and we met. Met at the edge of my mind where surrendering was easy. As he fed me his words, I fell in love. His words awaken and bring life to what's dormant. No, his words breathe life and quench the dehydrated like a beautiful accident. He's captured the sapiosexual in me, and all I do is crave more. He's got my spirituality and love and my jewel. Freely. It's good here. And I ain't going nowhere. I just want to taste him and let him between my thighs because his signature was ironclad there lifetimes ago. And there are no boundaries I won't allow him to cross. And that's that piece. Well, damn, I don't know what I was on back then.
I was just about to ask. I was like, okay, what was happening right there?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little bit of insight on this piece. There was a time in my life with my husband that he wanted to keep me dumbed down and didn't want me around his intellectuals. My husband was super, super smart. And he knew that I was too, but he would say things to me and put me in certain areas and positions where I wasn't stimulated. I was made to feel less than. And I would, sometimes when we would go out to certain events, I felt like I was sitting there on a slow bus. You know what I mean? And everybody else, the cool kids was over there, you know, the intellectuals was over on the other side, and I longed to be over there, a part of that, because I knew I could hang, but he just would do things to keep me in a certain mindset and in certain energy. And there was a time when we weren't right there together, and I met this guy, he approached me. I think he was an associate of my husband's, but he said certain things to me. We had a time to have a little bit of conversation, and I just felt light on my feet talking to him. It was so refreshing. So now the sexual part I just threw in there. That was just like what I did want to experience, you know, but that's how he made me feel. When you get stimulated by someone after being, it's like, somebody constantly feeding you hot dogs, and then you come across a sirloin steak, a juicy sirloin steak, okay? Uh-huh. And you don't, you get a little taste of it, a little whiff of it, and you want to indulge and just gorge yourself to contentment.
Right.
But you can't.
It's like that joke that Eddie Murphy made about getting crackers after you've been stranded.
This is the same old crack. Exactly. Yes. Okay. So, yeah, that's pretty much where it came from. At first, I couldn't really remember what headspace I was in, but then I remember I was like, yeah, this was one of those times where my husband wanted to shine. As always, Leo's got an ego. Okay.
Trust me, I know. I was raised by a Leo mother.
Okay, so yeah. And they don't want you to prove them wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I learned a lot about myself back then. So it wasn't all bad. I found out who I was slowly but surely dealing with his crazy self. Yeah.
Well, look,
I gotta say one more thing, Diva. You got it going on with this music. I love your choice of tunes. It's relaxing and it takes me back, you know. And I love it.
Yeah, I try to keep it mellow. I try to keep it a little mellow. I started out doing radio in 19. Let's not finish that sentence. But I started out at a Christian radio station and then moved over to a contemporary jazz station. So I started out in that mellow thing, and it's always stuck with me.
Okay.
You know, I love to you know, just put you in that comfortable spot, in that pocket where everything just kind of feels good.
And that you do. You do just that for me. I'll be in here like, what girl is just kicking and she's killing it with things. I love it. I'm like, And even my grandbaby, he's a busy bee, but every once in a while he'll catch the sound of it and he'll be like, hmm. Yeah, I know. It's all good. It is all good.
Well, look, I have enjoyed this evening, and the bar is full of testosterone right now, but the cognac is flowing, so you're quite welcome to go over and join in.
Well, I appreciate that. I think I'll go grab me a glass of wine. I'm not a fan of cognac. I don't like the grapes like that. But I do prefer a nice semi-sweet wine, you know, not nothing too overwhelming like a, you know, a Manischewitz or anything like that. It's a little bit too sweet for me. But give me a semi-sweet wine, maybe a rosé. They cooking tonight in the kitchen.
Yeah, of course. The kitchen's always open, man. You know, we can't have no spot that we ain't got food.
Okay, you know how we do it. I'm going to move for some fried chicken wings. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. But that'll work for me.
Yeah, it's a little spot here that be having, like, a happy hour on Thursday night, and they be selling whole wings for $1. I be rolling up in there, and no, I ain't ate nothing because I'm getting ready to be a pig.
I understand. Trust me, I understand. I come hungry. Yes, girl. I believe you. All right, well, I'm going to place my order when I get up in there. I think I can handle a room of fellas for a little bit.
Okay. All right, well, look, I see a couple folks sitting down here in the hopper that ain't pressing no buttons, you know, and I'm not familiar with the numbers, but I want you all to understand, y'all need to press that one if you got something you want to say, because if not, the Blog Talk lady going to get rid of us. Or if it ain't no more hands up, then I'm going to have to get rid of us. So somebody need to raise their hand. This dial-in number is 319-527-6300 and press the 1. You done already dialed the number, so come and join us up here on the stage, okay?
Absolutely. All right, Diva. Well, thank you
much. Thank you so much for coming through, sis.
Always, always. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. That was the one and only Miss La Perla Negra coming through tonight, bringing us the old school vibes, some stuff from back in the day. Listen, I want y'all to understand that these mics ain't going to be open all night long. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give y'all a little bit more music and give y'all a chance to make up your mind as whether you're going to press that one or not. And then if not, then we're going to be out of here tonight, okay?
I think about the day I met the perfect stranger. I think about us. And I think about the day I got a wrap around your finger. I think about us. The sun was shining on you. The Lord was smiling on me. And love was calling us. I had my mind made up. I can't stop loving you. I can't help myself. And I can't get over you. No matter what I tell myself, baby. Never thought I'd ever love you. In my weakness, I think about us. And I think about the day you left without speaking. I think about us. I think about the love we had. for our children. I think about us today. I think about the way we laugh without a reason. I think about us, girl, yeah. There will be no more lies. Somebody tell me why I feel like I'm dying. Lord, what's come over me? Ooh, baby, can't you see that I can't stop loving you?
I can't stop loving you.
I can't help myself.
Ooh,
and I can't get over you.
Get over you, babe.
No matter what I tell myself,
no matter what,
babe.
No matter what I tell myself.
I don't know why I think about us. I think about us. I think about us.
Appreciate everyone who has stepped up to the mic and spit their pieces. It looks like we have run out of willing participants. So we're going to step back from this mic and give our appreciation. Thank you all for coming through. I'm trying to get over to the bar before the cognac runs out and enjoy what's going on and the vibe over there. But there is much appreciation for all of you. And I thank you for coming through for me. And hopefully I will see you guys again next Friday when it's another issue coming of the Inkwell right here on Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Y'all have an amazing Friday night.
leave us.